Chapter 2. Morgan, please, open up. Cullen was concerned. Morgan's self-imprisonment had gone on for 2 days, and she had yet to allow anyone into her quarters. He stood watch outside the massive door, and every so often he could hear movement within. His heart hurt for her, and he wished to get his hands around Nick's neck. He had finally discovered what was causing Morgan's deep distress, and even deeper embarrassment. He couldn't blame her for not wanting to step out of her quarters and risk the whispers that would follow in her wake. The kiss, as it was being called, that Nick shared with Elizabeth was now well known in all levels of court life. Nick must be out of his mind. Did he think his wife wouldn't find out, even if she hadn't actually witnessed it? He had heard about it as one of the men-at-arms relayed the story in bawdy detail.
"Threw herself at him, she did. They play at being ladies. But we know, don't we, boys? High-born or base-born, they are all born to be on their backs."
"Can't believe he kissed that silky morsel, and still had the wits about him to turn her away. If that had been me, I would have made the men wait a little longer to leave, if you get my meaning. Guess he'd gotten enough before from his new wife. But he still needed a goodbye kiss to see him off."
Hardy laughter rang out, and the sound and meaning made Cullen angry. If he was correct, Morgan's timing had been poor. She had outpaced him. When he had reached her, she had stopped under the archway, and then, with the grace and bearing of a duchess, walked away. She had said only one single sentence on the way back to the room. "Tiny, blonde, and curvy." He had no idea what the words meant, but he was sure it fit Elizabeth Fitzwater. What Morgan did not add to that description was spoiled, wily, and immature, all descriptions that also fit Lady Fitzwater.
"Morgan, please let me in. I'm worried about you. Just let me in. I'll listen if you wish to speak of it. I'll even let you pretend I'm Nick and throw things at me if you want,"
he lightly teased, thinking it might help. Silence greeted him. To his knowledge, she wasn't eating. The servants couldn't enter the chamber either. Meals came and went untouched by the Duchess. All Cullen could do was wait. Inside her rooms, Morgan didn't know what to feel. She had cried the first day until her eyes were dry, her nose red, and her pillow soaked. As the day wore on, she sat in desolation in front of the fireplace, staring into the ashes of the long-dead fire. She loved him, and he had betrayed her. On the other hand, had she driven him into the arms of his lover? Perhaps he wanted them both. Maybe she was to be the wife and the blonde woman his mistress. Maybe there was some other explanation. On the second day, she had slept, not wishing to leave the bed. With the scent of her husband still clinging to the sheets, Morgan buried herself in them and fell into an exhausted sleep. Sometime later in the evening, Morgan woke to darkness. In her exhausted and disquieted state of mind, she had failed to light a candle. Disoriented and afraid, she came out of the bedchamber in flight, falling into Cullen's arms.
"Morgan, are you all right? Here, let me help you."
A stunned Cullen walked a shaken Morgan back into her quarters and lit candles, which gave the room a comforting glow.
"I forgot to light the candle, and when I woke, I fear the dark."
She choked the words out, wondering if she would ever get past that fear. Cullen could just imagine. Nick had shared tales of what this trembling young woman may have endured. However, no one knew for sure. She didn't talk about it to Nick or anyone.
"Oh, Morgan, I'm sorry for your fear, but I'm grateful it brought you out. You've not eaten in 2 days. Come, let us get some food in you, and we'll talk.
Cullen began to gather a plate of food to eat and some wine for them to drink. He set both down on the table and escorted her to a chair. Seating her, he watched as she stared blankly at the plate.
"You must not grieve for him, lass. He will return," he said.
That, drawing no response, he took another approach.
"Morgan, you must also think about the possibility of a child. If you don't eat, it'll be harmful to the bairn."
"A child?" Morgan asked, then blinked, stunned, for she hadn't given the possibility any thought.
"How naive is that?" Morgan wondered.
Could Cullen be right, and there already be a baby growing? She would know for sure in the space of a few days. However, until she knew, she would begin to take better care of herself.
"Oh, Cullen, I grieve for me, for my being such a fool. He gains my forgiveness, and then he has the unmitigated gall to flaunt his affection for that woman before his troops."
"Morgan, I do not believe for a moment that he is totally at fault on that count. There has to be another explanation. He told me to tell you that should you ever doubt his love, to tell you he loves you more than his horse. He said you would understand."
Cullen remembered the conversation he had with Nick before he had left for London, and hoped it would make a difference.
Morgan felt a glimmer of hope. However, the image of Nick kissing the blonde flashed before her mind's eye, dashing the tiny glimmer of hope, thinking to take hold.
"I don't think so. I know what I saw. That was a kiss goodbye. I really don't think that he wants to be married, regardless of what he says. He married me because Henry told him to, and he didn't have an option. Did you know he asked the king to assist him in getting an annulment?"
She had no idea if the church would recognize the marriage, even if, by all accounts, a priest had said mass over them. Cullen was surprised.
"Nay, I didn't know that, lass."
He wondered what prompted Nick to petition the court to dissolve the marriage. There had to be some very sound reasoning for Nick to go to that extreme.
"Morgan, listen to me, and you know I speak the truth. He felt bad about withholding the truth from you. He didn't do it purposely to hurt you. He just made a bad play, thinking it was better to wait until you were stronger. There has to be some logical explanation for this, as well. It looks bad, but give him the opportunity to explain."
"Cullen, I gave him something I thought I was never going to be able to give again. I handed him my trust. Do you have any idea how hard that was for me? My uncle kept me in captivity for 7 years. That action fostered a mistrust of people and their motives, Cullen. Nick gave me hope that I could learn to trust and love."
"Do you still love him, lass?"
I do love him." There was no hesitation. That gave Cullen hope.
"Then let us just put it behind us for the time being, and give this a chance to settle down. Give that love you feel the right to grow. Give him a chance, too."
"Sometimes love is not enough, Cullen." Morgan closed her eyes, remembering that night so long ago. "Love wasn't enough to save my parents. No matter how much I loved them, I couldn't will them back to life. I couldn't love them back to life."
Cullen sat in quiet repose. He didn't dare break Morgan's concentration, fearing if he called attention to the fact she was opening up to him, she might slam shut.
She got up from the chair, began to pace the room, picking up objects and looking at them with no real interest.
"I remember the night of the fire," she said flatly,
pausing as if to pull the memory out of the recesses of her mind. Cullen noted that she was far away and detached. Her words contained no emotion, as if she were reciting a story having nothing at all to do with her.
"I was a tender girl of 13. My life was wonderful, full of love and family. In the space of one evening, it was never to be the same. I was the only one who survived. I have always felt guilt for it."
Morgan hung her head, and she looked down at her clasped hands, held tightly together in front of her. Sometimes I wonder if my family was murdered. I remember after coming out of unconsciousness hearing two voices talking, and the bits and pieces I heard have led me to believe this to be true. I feel my uncle was somehow behind it. Obviously, I have no way of proving it. He became my guardian, my jailer, and my torturer. Almost immediately, he began to lock me away. At first, he confined me to the house, forbidding me to go outside unless escorted by guards. He said it was for my protection. Morgan sighed heavily, remembering those early days. They were mild by comparison to the years that followed. That freedom in the house was short-lived. He restricted my movements even more by forbidding me to go outside the confines of my wing. I began to receive beatings for failing to follow this rule. It didn't matter to him that the servants forgot to bring me food and that I was looking for food on my own. I remember the first time he locked me in the tower. I was 15. He left me there with no food, no blanket, and barely enough water to survive. He left to go on a hunt and released me a week later. Uncle Lester said he had let me go much earlier out of the goodness of his heart. He said for me to thank him. When I didn't, he slapped me so hard, I lost the hearing in my ear for weeks. He was in a generous mood from the hunt, I suppose. Normally a beating much more severe would have been in order. Before I escaped, I had been in the tower for over 5 years. After a while, you lose count, as one miserable day comes and goes. She had taken up sentry by the window, staring out at nothing in particular, as she continued. I can't stay in the dark because he locked me in the cellars when he wanted to really bring home a point, or just felt like being his evil self, which, during the last couple of years, was often. The first time he had taunted me for weeks before he actually followed through. He went on and on about how the tower wasn't enough punishment for me and how he should lock me in the cellars. He told me stories of rats big enough to roast on the spit, and the spiders that could kill you slowly with a single bite of their venom. Morgan paused, closing her eyes, as if remembering each detail, her breath catching in her throat as she exhaled. Then one day, he made good his threat. I will always remember the day the door slammed shut, the sound of that bolt being thrown, and the darkness swallowing me up like some great beast. I was in the most dreaded place my mind could possibly have conjured. I screamed and pleaded for help until I no longer had a voice. Maybe I never have had a voice. She was speaking metaphorically. Nary a soul came to help me because no one dared. I remember when they brought me up. Lester beat me for being so dirty and foul. I'm not sure what he expected after a week. She stopped for a moment. Cullen waited, sensing she was collecting her thoughts. You know, there were two things that occurred that day. One was the realization my uncle wasn't just mean, but also insane. I felt I was on the verge of joining him in his world of madness. Second, I discovered a hidden stairway leading out of the tower. It became my hope. Secretly, I would sneak out at night and explore the castle. I began to gather things I thought I might need if I ever saw the opportunity to escape. A coin here, a cloak there, clothes from the laundry, anything useful, light, and portable. For 5 years, Cullen, 5 years of my life, I planned, I searched, and I schemed. One night, as I was searching the house, I found the prize, the bolt hole. It wrapped around the property and exited just past the main grounds, outside the walls and past the cliffs. It was all I could do not to run that very night. Why did you not? The darkness of the tunnel. It terrified me, what might be down there. Yet I was becoming more terrified of what wasn't in those tunnels. I knew Uncle Lester would eventually kill me if I stayed much longer.
I had no other choice except to run.
She paused again. I waited for Uncle Lester to leave and for the weather to improve. I didn't eat for several days, so the house servants wouldn't think anything about the food tray being left untouched. I was ready and praying for a sign. The day I left, our stable master had taken Demon out into the paddocks, and he was the sign I needed. I had my means to make a clean getaway. It was the second day after I escaped that I took the tumble off the horse and Nick found me. You know the rest. She stopped and turned to Cullen, who was somewhere between shock and fury at the tale he had just heard. He knew Nick had no idea, or Brentwood would already be dead. Morgan crossed her arms.
I cannot go back, Cullen, she said flatly. I'm not sure Nick really understood. There are too many monsters and too many nightmares there for me. Even if Lester is gone, his shadow will forever be there.
Morgan paused. What did she feel? What would she do now?
Nick is welcome to it. I don't care what he does with the estate. I'll go to Hart Hill Manor. It's an estate that belonged to my mother. It's more neutral territory for me. There is no need to rush, Morgan. Let Nick return. Then make your decisions together.
Cullen hoped there was a way for his brother to settle this with his bride. Morgan shook her head, feeling defeated, deflated, and sick at heart.
I know Nick did what he had to do, by the king's order, and I'll not keep him from his desires. Lord knows, Cullen, life is short. I truly wish him happiness wherever he can find it. Morgan, I'm sorry you've had to endure such treatment, and at the hands of family, no less. I see why Nick admires your strength. You have courage, lass. Nay, Cullen, I don't have courage. I just wanted to live. If I had courage, I would have faced the truth about many things. I understand why Nick married me. I understand why he asked for the annulment. What I don't understand is why he would tell me he loves me. It served nary a purpose for him to say it. I guess I'll never know. Morgan, Nick said it because he means it. And if you don't believe me, then continue digging for the truth, Cullen said, as he wrapped sympathetic arms around his brother's wife. You won't rest until you do. You're the kind of woman who will have the truth, regardless of the joy or pain.
Morgan laid her head on his chest, accepting the comfort for what it was. He was like Nick, yet very different.
They're both good men, she confessed. That was the truth.
But even good men do bad things.
Aye, Cullen, I do believe you're right. The truth shall set me free.